This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so you know, if you watch the show, you understand that there are two different divisions of communists. There always have been, and there always will be. There are the elite communist scumbags, the media, the politicians, the professors, the Hollywood elites, generally not true believers, just people in search of money and power, and they've found a sick demonic religion to give them that money and power. And then there are street communists. That's the people you see out there painting themselves on the road, storming churches, killing people, the normal thing. Generally true believers, violent, drug addicted, monstrous human beings, always used by the elites as foot soldiers to gain power. You got all that. The elites we will get to a little bit later on the show because they're all meeting in Davos right now. Apparently it's in Switzerland. And they're all hatching new schemes to destroy your life while enriching themselves. Let's focus on the other group, shall we? First of all, let's focus on people like this guy. Now, before I play it, his name's William Kelly. I tell you all the time that there are foundational truths, that you have to understand foundational truths about what we're facing, or you'll always be shocked. You'll always be surprised. You'll always be confused. You'll always think, or you'll always be saying, I don't understand why they would do that. Why is he saying that? I don't understand. If you say that a lot, it's because you don't understand certain foundational truths. So here's a foundational truth that, honestly, if you get this, you'll get almost everything. They are fighting. I'm talking about the communists inside of our country and globally. They are fighting a revolution designed to destroy everything you love and everything you care about. They believe that everything in society, from the government to the family to the church, Hollywood, your kids' school, everything, every bit of it is evil and must be torn down. That's what they believe. They are fighting a revolution. They are fighting, in essence, a war against our country. They believe the stakes are as high as stakes can get. They have decided, because the stakes are so high, that every single thing that must be done and said must be done and said in service to the revolution. If you've ever wondered why they lie so easily, it's like they breathe. You can lie in service to the revolution. Why will they hurt people, kill people, destroy businesses in service to the revolution? Why? Why do they do this? Why do they do anything and everything is permissible in service to the revolution? They are communist revolutionaries. They're not Democrats. They're not progressives. They're not liberal. They don't lean left. They are communist revolutionaries who believe America is evil and they want to burn it down. And when I explain that, you will always get some extremely naive person emailing into the show saying, oh, come on, they're not fighting a revolution. Really? William, please tell them.
So you know, Pam Bondi, you want to come and arrest me? You want to come and give me charges? So be it. And for all the people getting, you know, giving me death threats, threatening my life, kill me. Go ahead, kill me. Because you know what? As Fred Hampton said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution.
You don't have to take it from me. The street animals like that will tell you loudly they're fighting a revolution. And for people who don't want to fight a revolution, who don't think we need a revolution, it can get scary, it can get exhausting, it can get, all these things are true. I'm not telling you what to do, but you have to understand that's what's happening. And we have to understand this. We have to understand the role women play and why they play it in every communist revolution, in the Soviet Union, in China. I mean, you know who was worse than Mao? His friggin' wife. Why are women so instrumental to the communist revolution? Daily Wire just had a poll out that showed women are far more likely to support political assassination than men. You wouldn't think that, right? After all, women are nurturing and motherly, but that's why. Allow me to explain. Women, no matter how your life ends up if you're a woman, women are biologically created to be caring nurturers, mothers, wives, care for a home, nurture children. And what does a mother do? How does a mother act with her children when it comes to protecting them, both human beings and in nature? Mothers will die to protect their children. Mothers will kill to protect their children. You want to know the most dangerous kind of bear you can encounter in the wild? It's a bear cub. Do you know why? Because if you find a bear cub, that bear cub's mother is close. And if she senses you are in any way a threat to that cub, she's going to rip your face off. That's how mothers are. And communists know this. And so what do? Well, they take your daughter, and they take her as early as they can. Maybe they take her on this Instagram, Twitter, social media. No, I'm not being old guy Jesse. I know you're on social media. So am I. They take her here, and they start to work on those motherly instincts. They start to work on her in school. Her friends start to work on her. Women are more likely to seek out social acceptance among their friends. Men are more likely to rebel against it. Women are more likely to, don't embarrass me, seek out that social acceptance. And then they send her off. You'll send her off to college. And what they will do there, consider it the finishing school of this. They will take those wonderful motherly instincts that God gave her, the desire to nurture something, to care for something, and they won't try to remove those instincts from her. They'll just kind of divert them onto something else. You see, women, especially the young ones, they become mothers of the revolution, mothers of felons, foreigners, you name it. Whatever is good for the revolution, they will teach that young Democrat at the college you're paying for that she is the mother of it. And that's why they become wild animals in service to communism. These two were teachers, by the way.
There's news in the world, guys. Sorry, I got a little too excited there. Guys, please.
That was two teachers on video, recording themselves, look at me, hoping Donald Trump would be assassinated, and totally sure they're the good guys. They're just being mothers to the revolution. You remember Big Chungus, right?
Hey, you ever heard of Ozempic, you
mocking the death of Charlie Kirk. Again, a teacher. How could anybody get that horrible? She's just being a mom to the revolution. Where do these women get radicalized like this? Well, they sit at home. They watch The View.
See, I think that this is the end of it now for him. It has to be. And Americans need to step up now. It's not enough to go into the streets. It's not enough to vote. I believe that people need to start calling their congressmen and their senators. People out there have no way of dealing with this. That's why they come in here and love us so much lately.
Well, yeah. He put that.
But get on. So I would just say, get on the phone. Get on the phone, leave a message, look up who these people are in your area, and say, it's time to do something about this guy because he's leading us into World War.
Women sit at home and they get destroyed by that. We have asked, I have asked, I talked about it yesterday. Pam Grier, actress Pam Grier, went on The View and told the most absurd outright lie in the world. It would be like me sitting down right here and telling you, I'm 44 years old, that I remember where I was the day JFK was assassinated. It would be like me telling, this is the equivalent to what Pam Grier did on The View.
You faced a lot of racism growing up in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. How did that shape you?
Well, the military wouldn't allow black families to live on the base. So you had to live in an apartment. And you couldn't take a bus. You didn't, couldn't afford a car. You walked. Your dads walked to the base. And sometimes we would go from, tree shade to get back to the apartment. My brother and I, my mom, with bags. And my mom would go, don't look. And she'd pull us away. Wow. Because there was someone hanging from a tree. And they have a memorial for it now, where you can see where people were and left. Mm-hmm. And it triggers me today to see that a voice can be silenced. Mm-hmm. And if a white family supported a black, they're going to get burned down or killed or lynched as well.
Yeah. She was born in Ohio in 1959. She made up every word of that. It's not like she shaded the truth a little bit. She just invented the whole thing. And the hosts sit there and they're not. And every brain dead moron in the crowd, oh my gosh, it's terrible. And the women, especially the young women watching at home, no, it can't be, for an outright lie. That's why so many of these race baiters get away with just telling these huge outright lies.
They not even gonna, honestly, they're about to outlaw the idea of white supremacy and white hate. Like, they are about to be like, oh, that's not a thing. Forget the fact that you're talking about getting rid of, like, the classification for nooses in a time in which we have seen these random black bodies be strung up down south.
If I hear of someone whose fashion that I like and I know that they're a person of color, I try to make it a point. But the clothes have to be available. Right. You know, I think we can all do some work to think about that balance in our wardrobes, you know? What does our closet look like and who's in it? Mm-hmm. Who are we supporting in it?
Right.
You know, and I think if you have the money to buy Chanel, then you have the money to buy everybody.
Right.
And so let us be mindful, I think would be my advice.
Yeah.
This, the whole ICE thing is a travesty. You know, it's clearly, to me, it's we're attacking brown people. And I just happen to be brown. And I don't think it should just be brown people who are upset at this. I think we all have to be.
They just lie. And it doesn't work on you. You know who it works on? The daughter you sent off to University of Virginia. Her friends have been working on her. Social media has been working on her. Her professors have been working on her. She tunes into that crap and she believes it. That's why she showed up to Christmas this year with half her head shaved, the other half dyed pink, a bunch of earrings in her face, and told you she hates your guts and doesn't want to go to church anymore. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Chips are everything, aren't they? Let's be honest. When you're snacking, pretzels are fine. A cracker, I love a cracker, but I'm a chip man. The problem is the chips that you buy in the grocery store and the gas station are awful. They're awful for you. I take that back. They taste fine. They're awful for you. And then you know this because after you get done eating them, how do you feel? You're sitting back and you're unbuckling your pants and you're thinking, oh, I don't feel good. What if you could wipe out an entire bag of potato chips guilt-free, the best chips you've ever had in your life, and you're not bloated and tired and wanting to just nap afterwards? That's Vandy Crisps. You didn't think you were stuck with unhealthy chips the rest of your life. Potatoes, salt, tallow, not seed oils. Go enjoy potato chips guilt-free. Wipe out the whole bag if you prefer. VandyCrisps.com, promo code JesseTV.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just wanted to take a quick minute because I wanted to address something. We'll keep addressing this. I've seen a lot of people say, Trump himself has said, we need to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate. You know how they have to have 60 votes to pass a law. You get rid of the filibuster, it's just a simple majority, 51. Get rid of the filibuster. Get rid of the filibuster. Got to get rid of the filibuster. Okay. I've asked repeatedly, if we're going to take that step, what is the law we're going to pass that's going to fundamentally change the country and kneecap the left? And then people will say, well, the SAVE Act. We'll pass the SAVE Act. Got to pass the SAVE Act, right? Got to make sure only Americans are voting in the election. Let's pass the SAVE Act. But now we know from reports that are out today, as I've warned you of several times, that we don't have 51 Republicans who will vote to pass the SAVE Act. Yes, I know we have 51 Republicans in the Senate. We don't have enough of them who will vote to pass the SAVE Act. You can scream all day that you want to end the filibuster. We still can't pass a law you like. So what's the point? The low-T GOP indeed. We have to put our money where our morals are. We always do. Corporate America is not sorry for all the communist filth they've been pushing on us. They're just quieter about it now. We just actually looked into a company today that wanted to sponsor the show. Big and bright on their webpage was all the commie gobbledygook you can possibly imagine. So, of course, we said, no, thank you. We're not interested. I'm so happy to have Pure Talk where I never have to concern myself with that. I know. I never have to wake up. I'm never going to wake up one day and look on social media and Pure Talk's going to be there funding Black Lives Matter. But if you have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, they just might. Take 10 minutes and switch to Pure Talk. You'll pay less. They're on the same towers. They make it pain-free. They hire Americans. You keep your phone. You keep your number. Their CEO is a veteran. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go to switch. Go. Put your money where your morals are.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And in the ensuing months, we've seen BORTAC teams, people dressed up, tactical gear, Apache helicopters, descending in streets all across America, masked men, without providing identification, and we're in court on that. I was proud to sign the first anti-masking bill in this country. He is trying to stoke a civil war in this country. It is a disgrace what he's doing in Minneapolis. It is a disgrace what he's doing all across the United States of America, terrorizing communities.
Sounds like he's got a little bit of a cold. It's going around. I say that to everybody when they get a cold. Joining me now, Ann Coulter. I mean, you don't even have to introduce Ann Coulter. You've read all her books. Her Substack is anncoulter.substack now. And, okay, everyone gets the Democrat rhetoric, civil war and Nazi and that, okay, all that other stuff. Let's fast forward past all that. The communist propaganda campaign against mass deportations, is it working?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think it should be. I mean, the media is very powerful, but thank God we have the internet, and especially Twitter. I mean, obviously you get the feeds you follow, but things that we never, ever would have known about in the past, we're seeing all over the internet, the gang rapes, just the brutal, hideous, you know, machete murders. Biden brought in 20 million illegals. It's going to take a while to get them out. And at least in the first 6 months after Trump was elected and around the time of the election, even polls by the New York Times showed that a majority of Americans want all illegals deported, not just criminals. Somehow Democrats slipped that in to Trump's campaign promises, and it was never there. He promised to deport illegal aliens, both in 2016 and in 2024. Obviously, they're going to concentrate on those who are convicted. Would be a lot easier if the states would cooperate and turn them over. But, you know, often the difference between an illegal alien who's a convicted criminal and one who is not is about 1 week. I don't think we have to wait for people who have not been vetted, who are, as Trump says, coming from, you know, the emptying of the prisons, sending Venezuela, Cuba, the rest of these countries, sending their criminals, their mental cases, their drug smugglers, sending them all to our country. We have a general idea what kind of people Biden was bringing in. So get rid of all of them. We don't have to wait for them to commit a new crime here.
Yeah, get rid of all the foreigners. It should be a fairly simple concept. Somehow the GOP hasn't ever gotten fully on board with this. That's, I guess, probably a conversation for another day. And can you explain to people, I've tried endlessly, can you explain to people why the communists are so in love with foreigners, and as soon as they get power, like they had under Joe Biden, they'll bring in as many as they possibly can. They'll fly them in. They'll give them an app for their phone so they can schedule the invasion of your country. For normal Americans, I know you get it, obviously, but for normal Americans, they can't understand what's happening and why it's happening. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And boy, did we see it full force with the dementia patient. It was really the hardcore progressives running the Biden administration. And I mean, I think their purpose was put a down payment. Yeah, okay, this is going to annoy Americans, but once we get them here, possession is 9/10 of the law. Just keep bringing them in. And maybe it'll work. We don't know that it's not going to work yet. I mean, please God, Trump, keep the deportation planes going. But he's deported, a few hundred thousand, 600,000, 700,000 from the interior. I'm not complaining. It takes a while. But Biden brought in 20 million. I mean, unless we have another 8 years with J.D. Vance or some worthy successor, Biden will have changed the country forever. They may not be able to vote right away, but you got them in the country and they will start voting. And you say communist, and I think there is, beyond just, you know, the Chuck Schumers wanting, Democrats could dominate this country forever. Definitely there's an electoral motive, but also there are a lot of people, as we know historically, Americans who hate America and want to see it fail. I mean, why? We'd have to talk to their shrinks. Throughout the Cold War, they were siding with the Soviet Union. They were swallowing all of the Soviet propaganda whole. It's now been proved that the whole no nukes movement was invented by the Soviet Union to get us to disarm because they couldn't keep up with us. Ha ha, Reagan didn't listen, and the Soviet Union is no more. But, you know, all these lefties going and fighting with revolutionary groups in Latin America and China. they hate America. I sort of see the psychology, but again, we need to check with their shrinks. They want chaos, criminality. They don't want peaceful order and prosperity, broad happiness that was achieved by the United States of America. And this is just a continuation of what they've always done. Now they can stay at home and wreck America from within by just bringing the third world in.
And I guess maybe we should try to be the shrink for the purposes of our conversation here, because people have a hard time understanding why, for instance, you know, you have some crazy communist white woman, setting aside the ones that are paid, so many of these are paid commies, but the one who's trying to keep the serial rapist in her city. It's just so divorced from reality. And I've spoken to a communist like this from Chicago who, till they're blue in the face, they'll defend people who pickpocket. They say, well, it's no big deal. It's just my wallet. I don't care. And people think it can get bad enough that these people will change their minds. But, and some of these women will be raped and they will not change their minds. They'll think they deserve it. It's a level of sickness people don't get.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, remember famously Molly Tibbetts, who herself had, I think it was on a tweet, tweeted out, I hate white people, raped and murdered by, I think it was an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant. And to continue your train of thought, her own father said, it's worth it for the Mexican restaurants. No, that their brains should be, you know, extracted and studied in a lab someday. It's not suicidal empathy because they don't care about anybody else. I hate that phrase, suicidal empathy. It makes them sound like they're such good people. They're so good that it'll even hurt them. Well, yeah, it'll hurt them. But I think the expression that was waiting to be invented and was invented a few years ago is virtue signaling. They don't care about other people. They don't even particularly have empathy for the immigrants who have come here. I mean, the immigrants came here to get away from the people they were living with. So bringing in all those people isn't helping the immigrants either. They wanted to live in America, and liberals are busily trying to destroy the country they thought they were immigrating to. It is to say, I am better than these other white people.
I find the question of culture with these people to be fascinating, because they will tell you America doesn't have a culture. Of course, we're multicultural, or they'll crap all over American culture. This country sucks. Of course, it's evil and racist and all the other crap. But then they'll talk about bringing in click from some godforsaken African dump with 8,000 rapes. And they'll tell you till they're blue in the face that Somalia is a wonderful culture, but it's not. It's a horrible culture. And the problem is the people in Somalia. It's not one or two warlords there. It's the Somalis that make Somalia a world of crap. And it's so hard for communists to say that. Why?
I mean, both those points just drive me absolutely nuts. And just the idea that we have to be so gentle and careful, and you don't want to be, you know, some jackass Yahoo American and stepping on the indigenous people's culture, and don't step on this tiny little plant. But American culture, screw that. That's not worth anything. And does America have a culture? Well, for one thing, we've inherited all of Western culture, the greatest culture that has ever existed in the entire world. That's apparently hate speech to say that. Look at the case of Amy Wax, the professor at University of Pennsylvania Law School. She wrote an article. She's the smartest living person. Just saying, Western culture is so clearly superior to any other culture, and that's when they started trying to strip her of her tenure. But as for specifically American culture, I mean, I just wrote about it this week with the death of one tiny little sliver of American culture, with the death of Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. That is a band that could only have come out of America with its individualistic spirit and self-reliance and just the music heritage of R&B and country and even a little jazz and then rock and roll thrown in. There, no other country could have produced that band or, I mean, the touring, just the whole thing about that. That's a tiny little sliver of American culture. How about the whole cowboys and Indians culture? The Clint Eastwood, that's American. Cowboys are American. And I'd also throw in Hollywood culture, though I hate to give credit to any group of immigrants. There is this one group of immigrants, very, very small group, Jewish immigrants, who literally just created the industry of Hollywood. Although some of their offerings of late may not have been much to write home about, for years, I mean, to this day, no one can do what our entertainment industry does. Most people learn around the world, learn to speak with an American accent from watching American movies. American style, invented by Ralph Lauren. There's a very specific Connecticut, Philadelphia, mainline type style. And I haven't even mentioned anything from the Revolution and the Freedom and the Declaration of Independence. We have a culture, it's the best in the world. It's worth defending.
Amen. And I've never been disappointed in you before until I found out you like the Grateful Dead. I mean, rest in peace, Bob Weir and all that, but gosh, that band was not good. And I love you, come back soon. Feeling good. Such a weird way to talk, isn't it? Feeling, what does that mean to feel good? Well, here's kind of how I put it, the difference I've seen in my life. 5 years ago, I'd say, 4 or 5 years ago, I went through maybe what you go through right now. Here's what I would go through. 2, 3 in the afternoon, I'd be staring up at the clock, thinking, I'm so tired. Wish I could just get a nap. And then you get home, wife, kids. You don't want to do anything. You're freaking gassed. That sucks. Maybe you're driving home and you think to yourself, man, I'm just kind of down. I don't know why. I went through that. You go through that? Turn your life around with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Not needles in your arm. Actually feeling good all the time. Full of pep. Good mood. Smile on your face. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Go now.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing... I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes, they are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should Europe be doing?
The Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing, and they've been playing. This guy is playing folks for fools, and it's embarrassing.
Europeans think this is diplomacy, and this will ultimately work.
Oh, this is diplomacy with Donald Trump? He's a T-Rex. You mate with him, or he devours you. One or the other.
And Europe's
being devoured? People need to stand, but no, the Europeans could be if they continue down this path and process. They need to stand tall, stand firm, stand united.
Well, one thing that you always have to understand about Gavin Newsom, John Phillips teaches us about this all the time, is there's always an angle. There's a reason. Everything's been poll tested and thought about, and he's running a primary and everything else. What's he talking about? What's he doing there? What is he trying to get out of this whole thing? Joining me now, John Phillips, host of the John Phillips Show. All right, John, what's the angle? The T-Rex, Europe should be standing up to him, but what, the knee pad thing, what should I be seeing here?
He looks like a guy who crashed a wedding at the DoubleTree by the airport looking for an open bar, and he doesn't belong, but he wants that free booze. And he's willing to do or say anything so he can get that Tito's and soda and not have to shell out the $7 for it. And I think this is all part of Gavin Newsom's plan, where he wants to portray himself as the leader of the opposition. And I don't even think that the Europeans are the audience that he's talking to. I think who he's talking to right now are Democratic primary voters, because if you notice, what he's saying is, people should be speaking out about how awful Donald Trump is. People should be calling him out at every opportunity. And I think a lot of people connect those dots and say, okay, he's talking to the Europeans. No, what he's doing is he's comparing himself to other Democrats who are going to be running for president. What he's doing is he's going, me, 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 me. And you can't trust that Josh Shapiro because he's not here. You can't trust Kamala Harris because she's on a book tour instead of following Donald Trump around and harassing him or attempting to harass him every time he gives a speech somewhere that draws a national audience. What he's doing is stirring the pot in that Democratic primary, and this is part and parcel Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is a party of one, and he's collecting enemies in that primary. And let me tell you, it's not going unnoticed among his challengers in the Democratic primary, and the knives are being sharpened right now, and I can't wait until they come out.
Does this work on Democrats? I know it's difficult to psychologize a voter that doesn't necessarily share much in common with people like you and me, but does this, because you're right, he's following him around, trying to get on some of that spotlight, look like he's the one who's truly fighting Trump at every turn. I know that's what Democrat voters want. Every poll shows it. But does this kind of obvious thing work?
What he's doing works in the now in terms of generating attention. But here's his problem. Donald Trump is not going to be on the ballot next time around. Donald Trump is a termed out president. Some other Republican will be on the ballot, whether it's J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or someone we're not even talking about right now. What Gavin Newsom's risk is here is he looks like a guy who just isn't growing with the times. If you talk about someone who's no longer relevant in the context of the election, then you look like someone who has an out-of-date haircut. You look like some woman with a Peggy Bundy haircut who's showing up at a club in 2026. And Gavin Newsom is that guy right now. He is putting all of his chips on the fact that that Donald Trump will be sucking up all of the oxygen in the 2028 election, and that election will be about him, despite the fact that his name won't be on the ballot. And that's a big risk.
Alex Soros appears to be all over him. And of course, we can make fun of Alex Soros because he's dumb. He can't even complete sentences. His father was at least an evil genius. Alex doesn't appear to have gotten the half of that. But either way, that aside, he's taking pictures with Gavin Newsom. That, of course, comes with a boatload of money. That's a big get, right? Or did he get him?
It is in terms of money, but that picture didn't do him any favors. I love the fact that Huma Abedin seems to have a fetish for men who destroy the Democratic Party from within. So you can add him to the Anthony Weiner list to that. If he's trying to help Gavin Newsom out, then publicly aligning himself with Gavin Newsom is not the way to do it. You want to help him out privately. You want to help him out behind the scenes. The fact that you're publicly posting photographs of you with Gavin Newsom to social media is certainly not something that's going to help him in a general election. And I don't even know if that helps him in a primary, because part of what he would sell is electability. He would say, all these other people are old. Biden was old. Trump was old. I'm young. I've got the good-looking family. I'm the guy who can bring the energy. I'm the guy who can get elected, do something that Kamala Harris couldn't do. But if you surround yourself with these toxic people, and Democratic voters start to believe that that toxicity will prevent you from winning the general election, that takes away a huge part of his argument.
Do Democrat voters see that as toxicity, though? Because Democrat voters themselves are toxic at this point in time. When you look at what drives them to the polls, what their issues are, this is not the party of where the voter cares about the working man anymore. These people love pedophiles.
Well, I mean, his opponent will be someone like AOC. And so he's going to say she's not electable because she's taken this radical position and that radical position, and she's only been able to win in a very blue district in New York. Look at me. I've won statewide. I have appeal to people other than the Democratic base. That's why he's doing this podcast, and he just had Ben Shapiro as a guest on the podcast. He's had Stephen Bannon and Michael Savage and the late Charlie Kirk and others. That is going to be part of his profile that he's going to put out there. And the moment that you start aligning yourself with these people, while Democratic voters may not dislike the Soros family, they understand what kind of negative attention they draw. I mean, that's like going out in public and, you know, claiming that O.J. Simpson just endorsed you. Like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's some Buffalo Bills fans that'll win over, but I don't know about the public at large. And I think that they are so hungry to win right now, they're almost willing to put electability above being a lunatic on the scale of importance.
Well, OJ could really cut up the fences, but let's not focus on that for now. Let's talk about the fraud. Let's talk about fire fraud and Gavin Newsom. What's happening?
There's a fund, and Gavin will say, okay, I'm not in charge of the fund, so you can't blame me. There was a fund that raised $100 million for the fire victims, and they had a telethon, and they had all the entertainers that came out. They put fire victims on television and used them as the ass to generate money. Fine. People give them $100 million. People were very generous in wanting to help the fire victims. Well, the fire victims aren't getting the money. That money is turned into a slush fund that is going to every Democratic-connected interest group, nonprofit that you can imagine. Nonprofits that have nothing to do with anything. It's going to pay for podcasts. It's going to pay for voter registration. It's going to pay for different groups that deal with the homeless and those sorts of things. And when actual fire victims who have called my show, people who lost everything that they own in that fire, go to the people that run the fund and they say, hey, we need the money for lodging because our insurance will only pay for 1 year of lodging and now we're running out because it's taking a lot longer to rebuild than anyone thought. Or, hey, we need money to hire an attorney because our insurance company won't pay us what we're owed and that money would be helpful right now. They can't get a phone call returned. The money is not going to the victims in any way, shape, or form. It's going to all of these existing groups that deal with issues that really have nothing to do with the fire or helping out the fire victims, but those groups are doing just fine. And when people say, hey, that money was stolen, they go, oh, fact check, that is misinformation. The money was not stolen. And technically, they're true because the money was never meant to go to the fire victims in the first place. It was always meant to go to these left-wing groups. So I guess technically it's not theft because the money went to the groups that it was supposed to go to, but those groups aren't helping the fire victims.
So who's the one doling out the cash? Who collected the cash? Who's doling out the cash? Who's the main bad guy in this situation?
Well, it's very difficult to find out because it's not the state that's running it. It's a non-for-profit that they all got behind. And this is typically what they do. They take these groups, and frequently you'll see, especially in local government, what happens is you have a politician who gets termed out from the city council, and they'll go and they'll work for one of these non-for-profit organizations. Frequently in California, it has to do with the homeless because we spend a lot of money on homeless services. So the city, the county, the state, whomever, we issue grants to that organization. That organization has humongous administrative costs, and they hire their friends, they hire their family, they hire other politically connected people, people who are connected to the electeds that are throwing them the money, and the money gets gobbled up by the administrative fees and all of the salaries. And the problem that they apparently claim to exist to solve just gets worse and worse and worse, and they go, oh yeah, well, we need more money. The problem is we don't have enough money, so give us more money. And then they just continue to launder it amongst themselves, and then they'll go from one of these organizations and they'll run for another office, and they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So you can say, well, these organizations are run by the government because that's where they get their money. And frequently their leaders come from government. But technically speaking, they're not government. Technically speaking, they're non-for-profits. So it's very difficult to trace those dollars to find out who the exact individual is who's making the decisions, because they change so often.
What a friggin' racket. Jeez. John, as always, thank you, brother.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. I'm not a Grateful Dead fan, as you found out earlier talking to Ann Coulter, but I understand that, you know, that they're this iconic band, and maybe you love Grateful Dead, and that's fine if you have no taste. But apparently Grandma Vodka is a huge Deadhead, and I do know enough about Grateful Dead to know that it's a big alcohol druggy scene. Not necessarily my thing, but it's big for those people. And I guess I shouldn't have found it surprising that Grandma Vodka, Nancy Pelosi, was a big Grateful Dead fan. And credit to her for keeping it authentic. She got up to give a speech, and she had apparently been having a good time that day.
Bobby Weir was not just a musician, magician too. He understood something essential about America, that our strength and our improvisation, our diversity and our willingness to learn from one another. Bobby really loved democracy. He loved our country. And you know what he wanted everybody to do? Vote.
It was the giggling that got me. You have another shot here, please? I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.